Estoy como rompiendo. Says the Gemara, Omamar, Im Hoyu. No, sorry, I missed
No,
out.
Zem.
Omamar, Ze Machzir Ponov V'Koyrei Kriya Shema. So if you remember, we spoke yesterday, two people were in a mito and they want to say Kriya Shema. So we had a discussion, is it mutter if they turn around? Would there be a difference between the wife and other people? And what emerged was it's a machlokes between Shmuel and Reb Yosef. So now we're going to finish with that discussion. Says the Gemara on the eighth wide line, Omamar ze machzir ponov v'koyrei kriya shema. So this one would turn his face away and read kriya shema. Says the Gemara, remember we spoke about until this point the discussion of the erva about facing the erva, either one's own erva, which Tosafos dealt with, and the other person's erva, which is what the Gemara dealt with. Says the Gemara, v'ho'ika agvois. We have not discussed v'ho'ika agvois. Agvois is not the erva in the front, it's at the back. Translated the buttocks. So if that's the case, why would it help to turn away? Lemaisa, the agvois are still facing you. So therefore, it's not completely true to say that the other one's erva is not facing you because the agvois are facing you. They are exposed in your direction. Answers the Gemara, Mesayea lei. This therefore would be a proof, l'Rav Huna. If we see that we were only ever concerned with the erva on the front side, but not at the back, then this l'chaira would be a proof to Rav Huna. Why? What did Rav Huna say? Said Rav Huna, the Omer Rav Huna, Agvois ein bohem mishum erva. Indeed. Rav Huna maintained that the Agvois are not considered an erva at all. Not every part of the guf, which is normally covered, when exposed, is not necessarily considered an erva. So Rav Huna was mechadesh that the Agvois, even though obviously they're normally covered, even in our case where they are exposed, that would not necessarily be considered an erva, which would explain very nicely why that's not a concern of ours in our Gemara at all. We're only concerned with the erva on the front of either him or her, but at the back, the agvois is not a concern. Says the Gemara, let's try and offer another proof to this. Says the Gemara, Lema Messiah Leila Rav Huna. Let us try and bring a proof to Rav Huna. Now, we've had the word Lema on many occasions before. When the Gemara says Lema, means let us attempt, but ultimately it will fall through. Lema Messiah Leila Rav Huna. We have a mission and it says as follows: Ha'isha Yoisheves. A woman is sitting, v'koitze lo chalosa, and she is arranging, she is separating her challah, aruma, and she is not clothed. If she's not clothed, so we have a question. No problem to separate truma when she's not clothed. But what about the bracha? Now, when we deal with an isha is sitting by herself. So we have to distinguish between various parts of the guf. The upper part of the guf is not considered an erva for an isha. The lower part of the guf will be considered an erva. So the question is, if she's sitting arumo, we might not be concerned with the upper part of the guf, but we will with the lower part of the guf. So how can she possibly say a bracha whilst not clothed? How can that be? So the Mishnah says,
When we're saying erva in this situation, we're talking about for her to make brachos or dvar mishum kedusha, or is it if it, the husband's in the room?
And no, he's saying for her.
Just for her.
Yes, another subject about other people that we're going to come to later on. But for the moment, we're talking about her saying bracha in the presence of her own erva.
Oh, okay.
So the Mishnah says, Aisha yeshevez v'koytzelo chaloso aruma, even though she is orum, unclothed. Mipnei, because how are we going to deal with the erva at the bottom? Mipnei she yecholo lechasois poneha bekarka. Now, literally translated, she can cover her face with the ground. Obviously, the face is a metaphor. Instead of using an actual lashon for her erva, we just describe that as poneha. So if she sits in a particular posture such that the erva is completely covered by the ground, so she's not, as it were, lying on her back. If she would be lying on her back, then her erva would be exposed. But if she's sitting down with the erva down, so then actually it's completely covered by the karka. So in which case, her erva is not being shown at all. Says the Gemara, Avol loy ha'ish. This would only be a heter for a female, not for a male, for obvious reasons. Because when a male sits, then the erva will not be covered, the erva in front of him will still be exposed. Now, the Gemara doesn't explain why that might be a proof to Rav Huna, but it's very obvious. Because we said before that besides for her erva, what about the agvois, the rear? And Rav Huna was mechadesh, but that's not considered an erva bichlal. L'ch'oira, we now have a proof to that opinion. Because whilst she is sitting with the erva down, covered by the karka, but what about the agvois? That l'ch'oira is not covered by the karka. So you see that we have a proof to Rav Huna that that's not considered an erva. Yes, it's true, that part of the guf is normally covered, but so are the legs, and that's not considered an erva. Have a look at Rashi. V'koitze chaloso arumo, v'af al pi, even though she'orum, somebody who is unclothed, asur levarech, comma, even though one cannot make a bracha whilst in a state of nakedness, but however, isha yoyshevis, a woman who is sitting, not standing. If she's standing, then erva will be exposed. But if she is sitting, then muteres, it would be permitted, comma. Why? Shebe yeshivasa, because with her sitting, poneho shelomato, literally translated, her lower face, which means the erva, will be mechusim bakarka, will be covered up, non-visible, by the karka that she is sitting on. So this only applies if she's sitting. If she is standing up, or if she is lying down, then obviously the erva will be exposed. But if she's sitting down, and the erva is facing in a downward direction, it will be covered by the karka. Avol loy ha'ish. Not so, however, with a man. Both the beitzim, which is translated as the testicles, vahagid, and his mokoim mila, Boiltin. Boiltin means they protrude. Venirin and will be visible. Period. Put a period there, not a comma, a period. Ve'afal pi shemagulois agvoiseho. Even though, whilst her erevo might be covered, but the agvois are mugulois. Even when she's sitting down, the agvois are still clearly visible. Vahainu siyato. And that is the proof. We are trying to bring a proof to Rav Huna. And we're trying to bring a proof to Rav Huna, says Rashi, this is the proof. The Mishnah seems only concerned with the erevo, does not seem to be concerned with the agvois, which will definitely be exposed, says Rashi. So you see quite clearly that Rav Huna's principle is true. The agvois are of no concern whatsoever. Even if the agvois are visible, but as long as the erva is covered, it is not a problem at all, and she's allowed to make a brocha.
How are the agvois visible if she's sitting on the ground? I would think kal vachomer, if the front erva is considered covered by the ground, kal vachomer, the back.
It's not just the back, it's the whole rear. The whole rear, it's not just the bottom of it, it could be the back of it as well. Imagine a person sitting in a chair. It's not just the bit that's on the flat part of the chair. It's the part which is up to the back of the chair as well. And therefore, if the Mishnah says that she's allowed to make a brocha, it would seem to be clear proof that the agvois is not considered to be an erva. Says the Gemara, no, we can disprove that proof. Says the Gemara, Tirgma, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok says this can be translated, and therefore the proof is disproven. Kagoin, for example, Shahayu Poneha Toichais Bakarka. Toichais will be translated, how Rabbi Yosef to Art School translate Toichais, perhaps entrenched or deep in.
Flush to the ground.
Flush to the flush. Ground. So have a look at Rashi. Kagoin shahayu poneho teichais, devukais umachusais bakarka. Indeed, they are dovuk. Dovuk means stuck and covered. Teichais mashma loshen she'iois tiach chelek she'eino boiletes. So it's a very metziistic answer. She is sitting in a manner where even the agvois are not visible, which is not so far, Rabbi Shazeli, from what you were suggesting. So perhaps in the normal manner, maybe if she was sitting and perhaps leaning forward slightly, then maybe the agvois would be visible. But if she sits in a particular posture, that all of the agvois would be concealed, then in a chanami, the agvois would also not be visible. If that's the case, then we no longer have a proof to Rav Huna. Rav Huna was suggesting, Rav Huna is of the opinion that the agvois are not considered an erva. We were trying to bring a proof from this Mishnah, but this Mishnah is no proof, because maybe indeed this Mishnah is talking about a case where the agvois are actually not visible. And with that, we move on to the next sugya. The Gemara now mentions the line of the Braisa, which we mentioned yesterday. We spoke yesterday about Shnayim b'mita, two in a bed. And one of the cases we mentioned was that if the Bnei Bayis are Ketanim, young children, then it will be Muta. Remember, the whole concept of Erevo is Hirhur. Hirhur means improper thoughts. If somebody is in close proximity, unclothed, then this will arouse a Taiva, and this Taiva will generate improper thoughts, which are therefore obviously inappropriate at the time of Kriya Shema or Dvarim Shel Kedusha. Having said that, the Braisa said if it's a very young child, then there is no issue, with the obvious question being, how young is young? Says the Gemara, Omamar, Im hoyu bonov ubnei beisoi ketanim, then it would be mutar. If the sons or the household, members of the household are ketanim, then it would be permissible. Says the Gemara, va'ad kamo. And what age are we talking about? Omar Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, now, in order to understand this line of the Gemara, we need to be introduced to a very important principle, which we find in many, many, many areas of halacha. And that is, at what age is a person considered to be ra'u lebi'a? At what age can they be considered to be possible for them to have relations? So there's a very big distinction and a very big differential between a boy and a girl. A boy at the age of 9, a girl at the age of 3. This is very negea. For example, question I had last night with regard to a babysitter, a hilchas yichud shaila, this is the classic scenario where it would very much depend on the age of the various parties involved. So if a man and woman cannot be together alone in the same home, neither can a man be in the same home as a 4-year-old girl or even a 3-year-old girl. Because at the age of 3, she's considered to be ra'u lebi'a. In the opposite scenario, when you have a woman and a young boy, if the boy is under 9, it's not a problem. But if the boy is 9 and upwards, it is an issue. It's a very, very common shaila, and people, unfortunately, are not aware of it enough. Your daughter comes home from school with her friend, you have to know whether there's an issa yichud. Yeah, but she's only 3 years old. From the age of 3, there's an issa yichud, it's a mafurish asif and shulchan aruch. I'll call upon him v'oifen. So this age of 9 for a boy and 3 for a girl, so as we just now mentioned, it has relevance also, for example, as we just mentioned, legabe issa yichud. But here in the Gemara, that's not the discussion at all. We're not talking over here about hilchas yichud. We're talking about this question of hirhur. But I think we all understand that logically, the same age would play the same role. There is no hirhur if there is no taiva. There is no taiva if the age of the boy or girl is less than when they are ra'u lebi'a. Only when they become of age, when they are ra'u lebi'a, then that will arouse a taiva, which will therefore bring about hirhurim, improper thoughts. Says the Gemara, Va'ad kamo, Oma Rav Chista, Tinoikes, in the feminine, a girl, Bas Sholosh Shonim V'yoyim Echot, immediately when he gets to 3 years old and one day, that will be Asa, V'tinoik Ben Tes Shonim V'yoyim Echot, up to 9 and a day. By the way, and a day doesn't mean and another whole day. It means on the first day following their 9th or 3rd birthday. What exactly happens at 3 or 9, as we just mentioned? Have a look at Rashi. Bas Shalosh Uben Teisha, says Rashi, Shehu Zman, because that's the time, Sheheim Boim, that they arrive, Lichlal Bia. That's the age that they arrive when it's possible for them to be involved in relations, which, as we mentioned, therefore will arouse a taiva and therefore will bring about hiruhurim. That is the first opinion. Says the Gemara, Ikadamri. Some suggest an alternative, that it's not 3 and 9. Tinoikes bas yud aleph shonav yeim echod. The tinoik ben shteim esrei shonav yeim echod. So this opinion is more lenient and says that when we said that in the presence of katanim it's mutter to say kriya shema, it's not just until the age of 3 and 9, it's actually until the age of 11 for a girl, 12 for a boy, meaning a year before they arrive at the age of bas or bar mitzvah. What's the significance of that age, 11 and 12, says the Gemara? Idi ve'idi ad kedei, both of those ages take you till the stage of shodayim nochoinu v'se'arech tzimeach. This is a pasuk I think obviously we're all familiar with. We mentioned this on the Seder night. But this is also a halachic principle. Shodayim nochoinu, literally translated, when the breasts begin to become erect, v'se'arech tzimeach, and where the hair begins to grow. So as we know, both the boy and the girl reaches the age of puberty, and they are what's called simonim. At the beginning of the age of simonim, which are recognizable both in the shodayim and also the sa'orois, this particular opinion says that's the age that is of concern to us. It's not the age of 3 or 9, which will make them ra'u lebia. It's got to be that there's a more of a taiva, and that is when their guf physically begins to change through their shodayim and the sa'oreis. Have a look at Rashi. Bas yud aleph uben yud beis, zman shehein bo'ois lechlal sairois. This is the age where the guf begins to produce sairois, hairs, v'shodayim nechayinim. Shemisham v'eilech, because from then onwards, bo'ois lechlal bio she'odom mis'ave lohen. That word mis'ave, the root of the word mis'ave is of course to'ev or taiva. That is the age when there is a taiva. So, at the age of 3 or 9, where physically it's true, it is possible for a 3-year-old girl or a 9-year-old boy to be involved with relations. That is opinion number one. Opinion number two is that no, at that stage, there will not yet be hirhurim. The real taiva only will set in when the boy or girl, when their guf physically begins to change, that's when they'll be. You still hear me? Not sure what happened there. So it's at that age, according to the second opinion, of 11 or 12, 11 for a girl, 12 for a boy, that's when this taiva sets in, and from that age and onwards, the issa of Kriya Shema will kick in as well. Says the Gemara now in conclusion to try and paskan the halachas. Omale Rav Kahana l'Rav Ashi. Hosam, over there, what's over there? If you remember in the previous sugya, we had a discussion also involving Shmuel's opinion, but it was a completely different shaila. And the shaila there was, if you remember, with regard to putting tefillin under the head or the feet. And the Gemara there says, as Rashi is going to point out, that we had a very big question on Shmuel, which we're not going to go into again. If we had a very big question on Shmuel, then we would suggest, we would think, therefore, the halacha should indeed not follow his opinion. And yet, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, despite the fact that there was a very big kasha on Shmuel, the halacha does indeed follow his opinion. So the question is, if we followed his opinion over there, what about over here? Says the Gemara, Omale Rav Kahana Rav Ashi. Hosam, over there, Omar Rava. Rava said, Afal gav de tiyuvta de Shmuel, comma, even though there was a very big tiyuvta, there seemed to be an irrefutable question on Shmuel's opinion, but nonetheless, hilchasa kavose de Shmuel, the halacha still followed his opinion. Says the Gemara, hocha my question mark. So what about in our sugya? In our sugya, what are we discussing? Remember we mentioned Shmuel's opinion, not today, but yesterday. His machlokes with Rav Yosef. That if you have two people in a bed, can they say Kriya Shema if they're not facing each other? And Shmuel was the one who said, afilu, even with the wife, it is muta, with the implication clearly being kol shekein with somebody else. But Rabbi Yosef disagreed. And Rabbi Yosef says, no, only with the wife, because ishtoi kagufoina, for there's less hirhur. So we paskin like Shmuel on the first discussion with regard to tefillin under the head. What about Kriya Shema with two in a bed? Says Rashi. Over there, Robert told us, Gabi tefillin tachas mirashoisov. With regard to tefillin under his head, the Ka'oma Shmuel afilo ishto imoi. And it said, De halocha kishmuel. So, hocha, what about in our second discussion? Gabi shnayim shahoyu yeshenim. Two people sleeping in the same bed, the koshari Shmuel, once again. Shmuel was the big matir, and what did he say? That it's muta beishtoi imoi, comma. My, so what is the halacha? Do we follow Shmuel once again? Which, would you agree with me, and the Gemara is going to point this out right now, is a rather strange question. Because the two different discussions are indeed two different discussions. Why on earth, because we paskin like Shmuel in subject number one, is that a reason why we should paskin like him in every subject, b'chol ha'Torah kulam? And that's what the Gemara says. Omar lei, so he responded, otu means like a question, kulu b'choda machta machtinu. Famous phrase, says Rashi, machte machtinu ba'ariga achas oragtem. Ariga is a sewing, weaving. Are they all woven in one weaving? Which is obviously a metaphor for saying, is this all one discussion? Yes, we were told in the previous shayla the halacha is kishmuel. Why on earth would that be a proof that the halacha could be like Shmuel in a second discussion, the two unrelated subjects? Says the Gemara, Elo, Heicha de Itmar, where we were taught that the halacha is like Shmuel, Itmar, yes, then indeed we were taught, Heicha de lo itmar, and if we were not taught that, then we were not taught. There's no reason in a million years to suggest but because we paskin like Shmuel in discussion number one, for some reason that would impinge on discussion number two. They are totally unrelated. Says the Gemara in conclusion, let's just try and finish off. Omale Rev Mari Lerev Papa. We've discussed all the various chalokim of the guf, the erva of the ish, of the Isha, the Agvois, Kotan, Katano. There's one thing we didn't discuss, says the Gemara, Omaler of Meler of Papa, Sa'ar. Yotze bebigdoi mahu? Question mark. What happens if the sa'ar, if the hairs are protruding through the beged? Which means the actual erva is not visible because the person is wearing a beged. But there is a hole in the beged, and the sairis, the hair from that area, is protruding. Is the sar considered an erva? Says Rashi. Yotso sairi kenegdoi, shenekev beg bigdoi. There is a hole in the beged. Keneged zokon hatachtoin. Zokain hatachtein, literally translated, is the lower beard, which is, of course, a loshon noki for the sairis around the erva. So there is a hole in the beged, keneged in that area, zokain hatachtein, the yotza min hasar, and from amongst the hairs, one of them has left, benekev, gone through the hole. Which means what is visible through the hole, not the erva, but the sar. Mahu, question mark. Mi hava erva? Would that be considered an erva? Likrois kriya shema kenegdoi? To read kriya shema opposite it? Oiloi? That's the question of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, very almost comical answer. Says the Gemara, Kora Oleho. He called this. Do you know how he answered back? Sa'ar Sa'ar. What does that mean? How's he answered the Shaila? Is that a yes or a no? Says Rashi, Sa'ar Sa'ar Kloima. What that means is to say, Ma Bakach. Who cares? Right? It's like you say, you know, what's the halacha with a hair? You say, well, hair shmeh. It's like you're making fun. He says, what's the shayla? Ma bekach. What's the problem? In all of Chazal, when we talk about the erva means the erva. He's saying, sar, sar, sar. Who cares? Let it be the sar. The sar is not the erva. The sar is not an erva. Okay, we'll hold it over here, and Bez Hashem will continue tomorrow in the morning. All the best, everybody.